Good afternoon. It's 4:30 and 36 degrees here in Moorhead. This is Mountain Edition. I'm Leanne Akers.
And I'm Keneally Roberts.
And not be drowned out by millions of dollars in advertisement from the national level.
A measure to move election to even-numbered years is headed to the House.
Lawmakers got an update on school safety measure implementation.
After Governor Bevin, lawmakers are considering changes to the office's pardon power.
A former Miss Kentucky will face a psychiatric evaluation.
A recovery center in Paintsville was destroyed by fire.
In sports, the Rowan County girls basketball team is battling it out with Mercer County this afternoon.
Bud Luke has a stock report.
A 30% chance of freezing rain tonight with a low around 30 degrees. We'll have a look at your region's extended forecast after this news.
The first piece of legislation to clear a chamber in the Kentucky General Assembly deals with elections. The Senate approved a measure that would move elections for governor and other constitutional offices to even-numbered years. It's sponsored by Republican Senator Chris McDaniel of Kenton County. However, the bill is receiving some opposition. Democratic Senator Robin Webb of Grayson opposes the bill that would move statewide elections to the same year when the national elections are on the ballot.
More importantly, I think the issues that affect Kentucky need to take the forefront in any debate, in any election, and not be drowned out by millions of dollars in advertisement from the national level.
The bill now goes to the House. Similar legislation has failed in the past General Assembly sessions.
Twin bills filed in the Kentucky Senate aim to ease the financial burden on diabetics struggling to pay for insulin. WUKY's Josh James has details.
Senator Philip Wheeler has put forward two proposals, one granting an emergency supply to those not covered under Medicare, and another capping out-of-pocket costs for a 30-day supply of insulin at $100. The bills echo concerns raised by Governor Andy Beshear in his State of the Commonwealth address Tuesday.
Most bottles of insulin, they cost about $7 to produce. Yet Big Pharma is charging our people upwards of $300 for that same vial. It is wrong, it is cruel, and we must fight back.
Diabetics have reported having to ration insulin or choose between purchasing insulin and paying monthly bills. Wheeler said he hopes it's an issue that will attract support from both sides of the aisle. In Frankfort, I'm Josh James reporting.
Lawmakers received an update on the progress the state is making towards implementing its sweeping 2019 school safety overhaul. Officials in charge of rolling out and coordinating the wide-reaching new safety measures report school districts have been highly receptive to the changes, which range from locking classroom doors during instructional time to employing law enforcement officers known as SROs. The state is training up compliance officers, each in charge of assessing between 70 and 80 schools. Officials hope to eventually meet a national benchmark of one school resource officer per 1,000 students. And Senator Max Wise says new legislation this year will call on districts to arm those officers.
We're not going to give them a slingshot. We're not going to give them something else that's not going to be able to be there to help in a situation of whatever it is that possibly could arise. So we're going to make sure this session we have the word armed, and it'll be a shall. It won't be a may that we're going to put into law.
With state dollars slowly coming in, lawmakers are suggesting schools seek private donations and collaborative efforts with local law enforcement for funding the extra protection.
Lawmakers are pushing to change the pardon process after former Governor Bevin's administration. WMKY's Lysia Henneberg has the story.
Kentucky Senate President Robert Stivers has suggested forming a pardons commission to review cases and make recommendations to the governor. These ideas follow a historic end to former Governor Matt Bevin's term in 2019, where, according to LAX 18, during his final days in office, he pardoned hundreds of inmates in Kentucky with both nonviolent drug offenses and more serious crimes. Two proposals have already been filed. One seeks to repeal the governor's pardoning powers during the month before election until inauguration, while the other gives crime victims the right to be notified prior to the pardon of their offender. Stivers says a constitutional amendment would likely need to be made to solve this issue, alluding that Kentuckians may find this issue on the ballot in the near future. For WNKY News, I'm Lucia Henneberg.
Changes are coming to a controversial immigration bill in the Kentucky Senate. Senate Bill 1 sponsor Danny Carroll hopes the new language will quell concerns that the measure would deputize local law enforcement and other public officials to enforce federal immigration law. The bill mandates law enforcement and public agencies cooperate with U.S. Immigration and Customs Enforcement, commonly known as ICE, and bars communities from adopting sanctuary policies. Following pushback from the ACLU and other groups, sponsor Danny Carroll says he's removing a number of agencies, including rape crisis centers, domestic violence shelters, and the Department of Public Advocacy, from the law.
We felt like it was the right thing to do, and we felt like it was in an effort to consider the humanity and the human element of the impact of this bill, it was the right thing to do. So we made those exemptions.
Carroll says an updated version of the bill could be heard in committee as early as next week.
A bill set to be passed in the West Virginia House of Delegates aims to change the age at which a child is allowed to provide a preferred outcome in a custody case. If passed, the bill, proposed by Delegate Jeff Foster, would allow a child of any age to speak in the hearing if the judge believes they are mature enough. Currently, a child must be 14 years of age to be considered fit to speak. Psychologist Dr. Timothy Saar tells WSAZ allowing a younger child to speak could cause undue mental stress on the child.
We may see children again who are placed in between a battle between mom and dad and feel like they betrayed one over the other when they have to speak to the judge. We may be putting too much pressure or too much responsibility on a child that's just not emotionally capable of handling that type of pressure.
The bill was passed to its third reading on the House floor Wednesday before a vote. Similar bills have passed the House in recent years but were not brought before the Senate for a vote.
We'll have a look at more of your region's headlines right after this.
Support for MSPR comes from the Recreation and Wellness Center at Morehead State University. The Wilson Bowling Lanes in the Laughlin Building are open to the public for birthday parties, youth groups, by the hour or per game pricing. Cosmic Bowling features disco and black lights, open Tuesday through Saturday from 5 to 9 p.m. For more information and reservations, the phone number is 606-776-3457.
The sentencing date for a former Miss Kentucky accused of sexting her former student has been pushed back. Ramsey Bierce, a former teacher at Andrew Jackson Middle School in Cross Lane, West Virginia, has been scheduled for a psych evaluation on February 4th, with the sentencing date moved to March 5th. Bierce pleaded guilty to a felony count of possession of material depicting minors in a sexually explicit conduct. She's accused of sending topless photos to a 15-year-old student between August 2018 and October 2018 using the app Snapchat. She claims the first photo was intended for her husband. However, after receiving an explicit photo from the student, the conversation did not end.
I did compliment him in a way that made it look like I did want them because, again, I was afraid to not appease him. But since I am the adult and he was just a teenager, it was definitely my fault, and I accept the full blame for the situation.
Bierce can receive up to 2 years in prison and a maximum of 50 years on probation. The prosecution tells WSAZ that she would also have to register as a sex offender for life.
One of the men accused in the death of a Lexington toddler in 2016 has taken a plea deal in the case. According to WKYT, Adrian Dunn and Marquise Thurman were both facing murder charges in the death of a 2-year-old Nova Gallman. Thursday, Dunn pleaded guilty to a lower manslaughter charge. As part of the plea deal, he agreed to testify during Thurman's upcoming trial. In December 2016, Gallman was shot and killed during a home invasion on Kenton Street in Lexington. Lexington police say Dunn and Thurman forced their way into the home. Once inside, police say they started a fight that led to shots being fired.
Police in Rockcastle County are looking for someone suspected of arson. There have been 3 suspicious fires on Davis Street in Mount Vernon over the past 2 weeks. Police believe the fires are connected. The first of the fires occurred on January 2nd, while the most recent occurred on the 15th. 2 of the homes were empty, while the third had a family living in it, but no one was hurt in that fire. Neighbor Dustin Thornton tells WYMT he hopes the police will be able to quickly resolve the problem.
You know, a lot of us are afraid, you know, it could be one of us next. And the fact that they've hit a trailer with a mother and daughter, you know, it's ridiculous. A lot of us are afraid for our lives.
Police say one of the victims received a message through a texting app saying you're next. They're doing everything they can to trace that message. Mount Vernon police are asking anyone with information about the fires to contact them.
Schools in Mason County were briefly under lockdown yesterday as police were searching for a fugitive. WMKY's Gage Webb has the story.
The Maysville Ledger Independent reports the incident began overnight in the Orangeburg community. Malcolm Walker was accused of assaulting a female and holding her against her will. Police say the woman drove Walker to a hotel where Walker allegedly assaulted her again. When a bystander attempted to intervene, they were then pepper sprayed by Walker. The lockdown was considered precautionary due to the proximity of the hotel to the area schools and was lifted once it was determined Walker was no longer in the area. He was arrested early Thursday afternoon. For WMKY News, I'm Gage Webb.
The Paintsville Recovery Center burned down Wednesday morning. The fire was discovered around 3 a.m. by West Vanlier Fire Chief Ronnie Robinson. He tells WYMT the fire probably started on the back deck, the same place a smaller blaze started 8 months ago.
I discovered it, came up on it burning back here on the back corner. It'd been burning a while because it's already out the roof on us. No, it's a total loss.
Patients of the center are temporarily without their medication. Officials at the facility are asking them to turn to other facilities during the rebuilding period. Firefighters are still investigating the cause and say Kentucky State Police will be involved.
The American Red Cross Eastern Kentucky chapter has plans to install 200 smoke detectors in Letcher County. The smoke alarm install for Martin Luther King Day of Service is only possible because of a $40,000 grant from the American Electric Power Foundation. Allison Barker is the Corporate Communications Manager for Kentucky Power and Chairman for the Eastern Kentucky Chapter of the American Red Cross. Barker says Kentucky Power, the Red Cross, and local volunteer fire departments are doing 200 installs for free.
I'd just like to say on behalf of the Red Cross that having a working smoke detector can reduce the risk of dying in a home fire by nearly 50%. That's one reason that Kentucky Power and AEP wanted to support the Red Cross in this effort. On Monday, the goal is to install 200 smoke alarms in 80 homes. That's the goal, to make 80 homes safer in Eastern Kentucky.
For more information on how to volunteer for the smoke alarm installs, contact the American Red Cross.
The University of Kentucky Healthcare Centers and St. Clair Regional Healthcare here in Moorhead are temporarily restricting visitation to stop the spread of flu. The visitation restrictions include allowing two visitors in a room at a time, as well as banning visitors who exhibit flu-like symptoms. LEX 18 says the restrictions will affect UK healthcare locations, including Chandler Hospital and Children's Hospital. The decision comes in the wake of over 8,000 lab-confirmed cases of the flu in Kentucky and 14 deaths supposedly from the flu complications in 2020. The CDC reports Kentucky is still at widespread status.
A major resort may be in the works at Red River Gorge. The Red River Economic Development Board of Managers met today in Stanton to discuss a project they say would bring major revenue and tourism to the gorge. Board members are choosing a firm that will prepare a multi-city tourism master plan for the Gorge Resort Project. Suggestions for the master plan have included lodges that can house 150 to 200 tourists, a retail outlet, and private cabins. The tourism efforts have been met with some criticism from the public. LEX 18 reports some citizens are concerned with the environmental impacts that may come from the construction of the resort. And now taking a look at your region's weather, tonight a 40% chance of freezing rain and rain showers, cloudy with a low around 30. Saturday, 90% chance of showers, mainly before 5 p.m. with a high near 53. Saturday night, 30% chance of rain and flurries, mostly cloudy with a low around 23. Sunday, chance of flurries before 10 a.m., otherwise partly sunny with a steady temperature around 26. Sunday night, partly cloudy with a low around 16. For your Martin Luther King Day, mostly cloudy with a high near 26. And now taking a look at some of the current temperatures in the WMKY listening area. It's currently 38 degrees in Inez, 36 degrees in Grayson, 35 degrees in Winchester and Lexington, 37 degrees in Ashland, and it's 36 degrees here on the campus of Morehead State University.
On our feature segment today, commentator Dr. John Modaff kicks off the new year wondering if the best question about the suicide epidemic isn't who, but why.
Details of American and worldwide suicide rates state that males suffer the final consequences of it more than four times as often as females do. That is true if one counts deaths. But if one counts attempts that lead to failure, women outnumber men, according to reports, and they suffer depression more. The easy thing to do is to compare those rates and the deaths and to begin to argue that social and cultural pressures are greater on one group than another. In the United States, for example, middle-aged white men dominate in suicide deaths. Surely, some say, this is because of undue pressures on middle-aged white men. That may be worth discussing, but is that really the most serious issue raised by these suicide statistics? Shouldn't we be concerned about the bigger question, why are people deciding to end their lives before nature takes care of it? Oddly, the answer is that it has become natural to do this unnatural-seeming thing, that is, the social and cultural stop signs, obstacles, principles, ethics, morals, fellowship that can help people avoid choosing early death have themselves deteriorated. Another way to say that something once unnatural has evolved into something to be accepted as natural is to say that people have become accustomed to it. It's affirmed, it's decriminalized, depicted in ways that glorify it, make entertainment of it even. People at rates never before seen in a world as full as it has ever been with intellectual and technological promise are wanting to die. And even more remarkable, it's encouraged in a range of ways in the country and throughout the world. So, first impetus, social acceptance of the decision that the time has come to end one's life. Consulting with doctors does not change the fundamental agreement we have made in our nation. A state may allow a person to determine that the time has come to go. This breaks free entirely from religious, legal, social, and ethical constraints that all at one time argued the same thing. It is wrong, they said, illegal or a sin to end one's life. With all of those systemic, socially constructed taboos fallen off, a very large impediment to suicidal thinking is removed. In arts, letters, and music, the tragedy of suicide and death are explored like nowhere else. People are, strangely and somewhat sickeningly, entertained by suicide. Look at the wrath of Sylvia Plath, an artist like so many others whose early self-imposed deaths added a macabre ethos to their creations, as if they died for their expression, and thus its value increased. This is cultural and artistic motivation to manage one's death as that last entry on one's feed, one's wall, one's legacy. This is not merely the removal of taboo, it is outright encouragement through consequences. In pop culture, fascination with death and apocalyptic thinking takes up a lot of space, and in film and in television is the glorification of death and self-immolation everywhere. So why do people choose to end their lives early? Well, what or who is left to convince them otherwise? I'm John Modaff.
Dr. John Modaff is a professor of speech here at Morehead State University. It's 4:49 and 36 degrees here on the beautiful campus of Morehead State. I'm your Mountain Edition host, Leanne Akers, here with Keneally Roberts and Chaz Jenkins, and we're coming to you live from the Larry Netherton studio here in the historic Breckenridge Hall. Thank you so much for joining us on this chilly Friday afternoon. Shamari Mosley has a look at sports after this timeout.
Support for MSPR comes from Ruta Baker's Bakery and Cafe, across from St. Clair Healthcare on Flemingsburg Road in Morehead. Ruta Baker's has made-from-scratch cakes, pies and cookies, scones, braids and muffins. Lunch menu features sandwiches, soups and salads. Ruta Baker's Bakery and Cafe is open Tuesday through Friday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m., and Saturday, 9 a.m. to 4 p.m. Takeout orders and lunch reservations at 780-4282 or online at rutabakers.com.
Broward County girls basketball team faces off with Mercer County at the Owensboro Sports Center this afternoon. For WMKY Sports, I'm Shamari Mosley. The Broward County girls basketball team is battling against Mercer County at the Owensboro Sports Center this afternoon. The game is the first round of this year's Kentucky's 2A state championship tournament. Head coach Matt Stokes says if they win against Mercer, the team will continue to play through the weekend.
If we win Friday, we'll play again on Saturday. So it's a three-day event. You know, if you win, you keep moving on. Sunday's the final. So if we win tomorrow, we're going to play Saturday evening, like at 5 o'clock, I think is what the time it is.
We'll have scores for the 2A state championship Monday during morning edition. In girls' 16th region high school basketball action tonight, Fleming County hosts Bath County at 6 p.m. Russell travels to East Carter for a 7:30 matchup. In other 16th region boys action tonight, Fairview welcomes Russell at 6 p.m. and Fleming County hosts Bath County at 7:30. The Morehead State University basketball teams are gearing up for Game 2 in their four-game road stretch. The women's team will be the first to face off with Belmont in Nashville tomorrow. Head coach Greg Todd says Belmont is an extremely tough team, having won the OVC title 4 years in a row. But this year, he says that's reflective of the whole conference.
Most teams this year seem to be on an uptick. Other than, like I said, I don't think Belmont, they lost an all-conference point guard, so they're not quite as strong, but it's a very competitive league this year in women's basketball.
Tip-off for the women's team is set for 3 o'clock. The Morehead State men's basketball team will face off with the Bruins following the women's game tomorrow. The Eagles enter the contest at 3-2 in the conference. Head coach Preston Spratlin says his guys know not to expect anything easy given some of the recent performances by some players on the Belmont squad.
They've got a great big man inside, Nick Wazinski, a really good point guard who's, flirting with the triple-double almost every night, Grayson Murphy. So they've got some real firepower, and the way they play is extremely hard to guard with their balance and their ability to shoot it on the perimeter, and like I mentioned, with a great big guy inside. And so it'll be a very different game than Tennessee State.
Tip-off for the men is set for 5 o'clock. Five Morehead State football student-athletes have been named to Phil Steele's 2019 postseason All-Pioneer League teams. WMKY's Cody Robinson reports.
Junior defensive lineman Vaughn Taylor Jr. and sophomore return man Ian Holder were first-team picks. Junior wide receiver Landon Hurst and senior offensive lineman Josh Poe earned second-team nods, while junior Andrew Foster made the third team as a punter. Taylor led the PFL in tackles for loss with 17 and tied for a PFL best 5.5 sacks. He also led MSU in quarterback hurries with 7. Holder finished second in the league in kickoff return average at 27.1 yards. Against Davidson, he returned 5 kickoffs for 186 yards that was topped off by a 91-yard touchdown run. As a receiver, he finished second on the team in receptions. For WMKY Sports, I'm Cody Robinson.
More than a year after being fired at Louisville, Bobby Petrino is back on the sidelines of a football field. Petrino was named head coach at Missouri State University. The Bears play in the Missouri Valley Conference.
But I'm very motivated on this. There's no doubt about that. And like I said, I think it's a great challenge. Something that I've always looked forward to my entire life. Is seeing a challenge, facing it, and being able to be successful. So I'm excited and very motivated for it.
This is Petrino's 6th head coaching job in the past 17 years. That includes 2 stops in Louisville and another at Western Kentucky. The Missouri State Athletics Director who hired Petrino is Kyle Motes, who was an associate AD at Louisville. A bill permitting sports betting easily sailed through a House committee on Wednesday, January 15th. The bill may be the first bipartisan success of the 2020 General Assembly. Representative Adam Kane sponsored the bill. He says the unanimous committee support may not carry over to the House.
In all honesty, I mean, we stacked the committee pretty well with people who support gaming and alcohol legislation. So it doesn't really, we're not going to get a unanimous vote in the House, I can assure you that. But I'm very optimistic about the House. It's just a matter of we're trying to get as many votes as we can.
Governor Andy Beshear has shown his support of the bill as a way to generate revenue in the state. However, even Kang says the money brought in would be a drop in the bucket of the state's pension obligations. And that's going to do it for sports. For WMKY, I'm Shamari Mosley.
Support for MSPR comes from MSU Athletics, online at msueagles.com. Men's and women's basketball welcomes OVC opponents Southeast Missouri on Thursday, January 30th, and UT Martin on Saturday, February 1st. Tickets and more information from the Eagle Athletic Office at 783-2089 or online at msueagles.com.
Good afternoon from the Ashland offices of Robert W. Baird. This is Bud Luke with your closing financial markets report for WMKY. Stocks rose slightly to new records as Wall Street wrapped up a solid weekly performance that featured record levels amid strong global economic data and a solid start to the earnings season. And the Dow Industrials did finish with a gain of 50.46 at 29,348.10. The S&P 500 was up 12.81 at 3,329.62. And the NASDAQ Composite was up 31.81 at 9,388.94. Today's gains came after Chinese industrial data for December topped expectations overnight, with production rising almost 7% on a year-over-year basis. The overall Chinese economy grew by 6.1% last year, matching expectations. In the U.S., housing starts soared nearly 17% in December and reached a 13-year high. That data follows Thursday's release of better-than-forecast weekly jobless claims and strong business activity numbers from the Philadelphia Federal Reserve. And for the week, the S&P climbed nearly 2%, while the Dow advanced almost 2%. The NASDAQ finished the week up 2.3%. Those gains built on the massive stock surge from 2019 and added to this year's strong start. The S&P 500 and Dow are up 3.1% and 2.8% respectively year-to-date, and the NASDAQ is up more than 4.5% higher so far in 2020. In the commodities markets, oil was up 0.25%, finishing at $58.68 a barrel. Gold was up $6.70 at $1,557.20 an ounce. In Europe, stocks had a very strong day, with the Stock 600 index up almost 1%. And in Asia, most markets were up as well, with the Nikkei up 0.5%, and the Hang Seng up 0.6%. Turning now to stocks of local interest, it was Dollar General down 31 cents at $157.96, Fifth Third up 6 cents at $29.45, UPS down a penny at $118.60, Marathon Petroleum down 64 cents at $56.89, and Humana was down 58 cents at $366.55. Reporting from the Ashland offices of Robert W. Baird, this is Bud Luke.
Support for MSPR comes from the Community Recycling Center, offering paper and document shredding services for Moorhead and Round County residents, community groups, businesses, and industry. Secure, confidential, and HIPAA-compliant, drop off or pick up by appointment at 784-1250. That's 784-1250. Located near the Moorhead City Park, the Community Recycling Center, keeping the environment clean and green. 784-1250, Facebook and online at moorheadrecycling.org. Taking another look at your region's weather, tonight 40% chance of freezing rain and rain showers, cloudy with a low around 30. Saturday, 90% chance of showers, mainly before 5 p.m. with a high near 53. Saturday, 30% chance of rain and flurries, mostly cloudy with a low around 23.
And that's going to do it for Mountain Edition this afternoon. Today we had help from Tanner Boyd, Joe Lewis, Greg Jenkins, Paul Hitchcock, Gage Webb, Cody Robinson, Lasia Hennenberg, and Shamari Mosley, and Chaz Jenkins. WUKY's Josh James, the Robert Baird Company's Bud Luke, and our feature segment today came from commentator Dr. John Modaff. Our theme music is composed and performed by Allison Brown. This is Moorhead State Public Radio, WMKY, Moorhead, Kentucky. Our show is archived daily on the web at WMKY.org. For Keneally Roberts and all of the MSPR News team, I'm Leanne Akers for WMKY News. All Things Considered is coming up next. It's 5 o'clock.